We still got about 6 minutes, huh? So if you got any question in the meantime, huh? You can maybe ask, then we can share it, huh? Otherwise we will wait for a while. It's okay. Oh, just for your info, huh? I think Sui An, they all have decided to cancel the class on the 19th of September, huh? Because Sui An, Mifong won't be around, then Stephanie also won't be around. So we take a break, I tell them. So next week got class, the following week no class. Then the week after that, I'm not sure yet. I may have to fly off to Kuching, Sabah, Sarawak. So I see how. If I go, then we will have to cancel it also. But we leave it open first. Okay. Yeah, I was told by Sister Lee. So now they have more days for you. They book until 30th, I think. Yeah. I think we can make it flexible a bit. So I think they wanted to break it up into some Dhamma for the first few days to settle down. Then after that, you go for the retreat proper, which is also quite a good idea. So when you are in the environment, when you develop the understanding of the Dhamma, it goes in very fast. Because continuously, for 2 or 3 days, you can have this Dhamma session, and in between, maybe some quiet moment of meditation. Then later on, when the retreat proper, we reverse the thing. You will have more meditation, less of the Dhamma and theory. Come. We haven't started yet. Still early. Come. Okay. Yeah, I saw the notice. Somebody sponsored the vegetarian lunch. That Alex. Very good. Sadhu to you. Yeah, very good. No, he didn't contact me. Then Chui, I think the leg still not recovered yet. Then Joyce also, I think, may not come because the friend from UK is still around. They only going back tomorrow. Okay, we got another 2 or 3 minutes. So we wait for the rest. If you got any question, you can ask. For those who are not so long here, maybe you need to familiarize yourself with all the essential Dhamma that I have written on the whiteboard, on the banner. Anything you don't understand, you better ask. Because without this base, you will not know how to develop the meditation. But this is very basic, and this is something that you must understand. Then only you can develop the meditation. They are all very important Dhammas, actually. And every session, actually, I only teach all this. But I approach it from different approach. So you may not know, but the essence is just this, nothing else. And all this spin off from the Four Noble Truths. The first two, five mental hindrances and spiritual faculty, they are very important. So this is the basis of the Buddha's teaching. He just tell you, why are you not peaceful? Why can't you develop that meditative mind to develop the meditation? Because human being got this problem because of their heedlessness. They develop this five hindrances within their daily life. And throughout the day, when these hindrances are there, by the word you will know, it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. That's why without that calm state, the peaceful state, there will be no clarity for you to meditate. And you cannot understand what is going on. So these hindrances need to be understood. Then after that, you don't have to worry about them. You will have to look at the spiritual faculty that you must develop. Once you have the spiritual faculty, you will do away with the hindrance. So you don't have to fight the hindrance. The hindrance come because you didn't train your mind to develop the spiritual faculties. And the spiritual faculty, they are very important. Not only to develop spiritual understanding, even in your daily life, you want to be good in anything. If you can develop these five, you will be different from other people. The first one, faith, sadha, very easy to understand. Spiritual wise means you have faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through knowing who he is and how special his teaching is. Whereas in normal mundane life, sadha or faith means you must have confidence in what you want to do. Understand? When you are confident, you can do it well. When you lack confidence, you cannot do it well. It's like anything you want to be good at, you must have the passion for it. Understand? And you must be confident that you can do it. Like exam. If you are not confident, forget about taking the exam. Because you will fail, because you got fear, you are not confident, because you have not prepared yourself and you don't understand how to do it. So to have faith in a mundane sense means you must know how to develop that confidence in you so that you are very sure this is what you will be good at. That's why people spend a lot of time, devote a lot of time to train themselves to be good at that. Then after that, virya. Virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to actually do that thing that you believe is useful, that will benefit you. So when you are very determined to do well, there is this type of virya inside you. So mundane wise, it's the same. If you see the importance of that thing and you have the passion and you want to do it, that is a driving force that will drive you. Then you won't be lazy. So you won't give excuse here and there because you see the value and the importance. Then the third one is mindfulness. Mindfulness, a lot of people cannot understand. Mindfulness is just an awareness of the mind without thought, silent. So whatever game you train yourself to be good at, maybe football, badminton, table tennis, basketball, or what. When you train until you are very skillful, even cooking is the same, or riding bicycle, or driving car, everything is the same. When you are very skillful, you don't need to think. It's just like spontaneously you know how to do it. And you are very skillful. You do until body and mind as one. And within that split second, you act and move. You don't think. Because you are so familiar and so skillful. That is sati. That's why you must train your mind until you are so skillful. And then only you can be good at meditation. It's just like when you train yourself in any game. Badminton, you must be very skillful in your strokes. Football also same. Basketball also same. Table tennis also same. If you have not trained, the sati not there, you cannot play that game well. you tend to lose. The other two is samadhi and wisdom. Samadhi is like I wrote there, unwavering mind, collectedness of mind, means that your mind is so skillful, so full of awareness and heedfulness, it doesn't think anymore. That's why it becomes stable. Once you stabilize it, it is unwavering and unmoving. And during that moment, there is clarity. That's why you can see things very clearly. Even when you play badminton or table tennis, very fast, you can see, not like other people, because you have very strong samadhi. Then your reflex is very fast, very good, because there is clarity. So any direction they will return the shot, even how fast, that clarity will allow you to act accordingly. So because of sati and samadhi, you become very skillful and very wise in whatever you do. That's how it actually functions. And in the spiritual sense, it's even more direct, even more penetrative. So if you are good in these five spiritual faculty, then you use it to apply it to life, to your mundane career, or your mundane sportsmanship, or whatever that you want to excel in, it will be a very good tool, tremendous help to you. So all these are not wasted. It doesn't mean that it only helps you in your meditation. Understand? Then if you don't develop this fighting, the hindrance will affect you. That's why you will not do well in whatever you endeavor in, if you don't work yourself on this five spiritual faculty. People who are successful has all these qualities. People who are not successful or couldn't excel, they have the hindrance a lot. You look at the hindrance, even though the first two, almost everybody, unless you have wisdom, throughout the day you are experiencing it. Sensual desire and ill will, your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, your judgment, your reaction to life, to every moment of sense experience. Whenever you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think or something, these two hindrances keep on manifesting. If you have been doing that throughout the day, year in and year out, ask yourself this question: how can you become heedful? How can your mind become peaceful? Then the third one is sloth and torpor, or laziness, or lethargic mind. You feel sleepy. There is not enough energy, not enough drive, not enough passion. You don't understand the importance of what you want to do. So because of that, it becomes a hindrance. When you are sleepy, you cannot do anything. So it's better to go and sleep, have a good rest, then come out and start again. The fourth one is the most powerful hindrance: restlessness of mind. You have to ask yourself, how does it arise in you? Why you become restless? Why do you become restless? Why? By now you should know that you have lived life for so long. When are you restless and agitated, unhappy, stressed? When? What are the situation or event that brings about this restlessness of mind? You have lived through life so long, so many years. Don't tell me you never have this restlessness of mind. You are always very peaceful, very happy. Then no need to come. You can stay at home. You see, human being become restless is because you got problem. Understand? Something disturbing you. Then it make you worry. Understand? You become anxious, a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, then a lot of fear. Because you worry about almost everything that you have attachment and clinging to. You worry about your own health, your own career, your own finance, your own family, loved ones, your children, their career, their marriage, their future. So many things you worry. Then you worry about your relationship with them, with whom you have a lot of maybe affection for. So all this can trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, leading to restlessness, especially when you cannot get what you want, when you confront certain life situations that are very disturbing, especially financial problems during crisis. Then you got severe police case problem. Your children involved in all those drugs and all those things. I tell you, it can be very serious. Then when you are entangled with life, it can be very serious. Then you cannot do anything, like you lost your life. You worry about them. You don't know how to resolve them. And this is what Buddha meant by suffering. So restlessness of mind is a very severe hindrance. So how do you train your mind to overcome all these hindrances? The last one is when you do not understand, when you have doubt, because you don't know what happened, you cannot understand. Everything doesn't seem to be right. You blame the world, you blame everything. Finally, you blame yourself. Then you still don't get answer. The doubt create a lot of hindrance in you. Then when you are doubtful, what happened to you? You lack confidence in that. A person who don't have understanding will doubt. When he doubt, means he's not confident. He doesn't know what is going on. So these hindrances are all very basic. Actually, to me, it's common sense. Common sense. But it takes the Buddha to reveal it to you, you know, what is common sense. So now you have a chance to understand it through words. You should appreciate and go deep into it. That was how I cultivated 30, 40 years ago when I saw this word. I say, oh, so beautiful. Very, very easy to understand, because it's like common sense to me. And it makes a lot of sense. So that's why it's very useful. Okay, now we can start. We haven't started for those who just came in. You can compose your mind, develop your faith, confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then we will start the salutation, the puja. Okay. Compose your mind, then mindfully pay respect to Lord Buddha. Okay, we will start the salutation. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. ปานาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิอาทินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิกามิสุเมจาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรยามัจจามะปะทะทานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค after rejoicing we'll pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha then we will startOkay, very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. You just relax yourself, huh? Then make sure you have a stable posture. Huh? Then your backbone, huh? Try to straighten it up. Huh? Then just relax, body and mind relax, physically and mentally, completely relax. Huh? Then after that, you listen attentively. Huh?Maintain awareness within. Awareness means you're just silent. Don't think. Then you are already aware. The moment you can just relax and silent, you are already aware. Okay. For those maybe who are just here for one or two sessions, I need to go through the basic with you all again so that you will understand what you do here.And for those who have been here for quite a while, maybe it's like a refresher course, eh? Like a, maybe they call it revision for you. Okay. So just now before I start, I already explained, eh? Why are you not peaceful according to what the Buddha has taught? It is because of your five mental hindrances. These are the mental state that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful or mindful. And it comes because you don't understand life. You do not understand what is going on. You are very heedless. Heedless means you are not heedful, means you are not mindful. That's why you think a lot. You have a lot of thoughts going on in your mind. And when you think a lot, the hindrance come in.Because you don't know how to arise the right thought. You don't have heedfulness or mindfulness to see clearly how did you manifest those thoughts, how you are conditioned through your delusion and attachment to react to life, to develop all these hindrances, leading to the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that condition your suffering in this world. So all thisWe already explained, sensual desire and ill will, the first two. Every moment of sense experience when you react like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, your mind is actually what they call lost in thought, preoccupied with this sense experience. So when you do that, there is no more awareness, no more clarity.Your mind is no more peaceful, no more in a state of mindfulness or awareness to understand what is going on. Because when that mind starts to get preoccupied with what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you think, and what you tactile feel, then that mind is already lost in that sense experience. And through that, you continue to think and react.That's why your judgment, your reaction to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you technically think and feel, develop the hindrance, the first two, throughout the day you almost experience them every now and then, unless you have wisdom and you are mindful. Then the third one, sloth and torpor, it happened quite often too. When you got nothing to do, or when you attend a meeting that you don't like, very boring, or when you are in a situation where you cannot move, you have to sit there and yet you cannot do anything. So you become like very, very sleepy, very affected like that. So that state is called sloth and torpor. Lethargic mind, sleepy mind, unhappy mind. Then you have restlessness, I already explained. When you have problem, you worry a lot. Small problem, big problem, same. You think a lot, you worry. So human beings' problem is they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so they never leave. When you worry, you have a lot of restlessness. Your mind becomes agitated. The lack of peace take over. Then when you are doubtful, it's the same. Doubt leads to fear. Fear leads to uncertainty, lack of confidence and all things. So the hindrances are very powerful. So the Buddha said, understand that this is the reason why you cannot meditate, you cannot become peaceful. So how do we overcome it? He said very easy. Develop the opposite five. He called it the spiritual faculty. I already explained. They are Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya in Pali. In English equivalent, Saddha is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. You must develop this faith and confidence. So he said, these five spiritual faculty, you can develop them easily if you follow what he teach you. That's why our opening puja is very important. When you compose your mind to reflect on the great qualities of Lord Buddha, his great loving kindness, you absorb all of the great loving kindness and compassion of Lord Buddha, including his wisdom. Then you have a lot of respect for him, a lot of gratitude towards him, because through knowing how special and how wonderful he is not only enlightened, he is the fully enlightened one, Sammasambuddha. And because he is so complete in enlightenment, his teaching is so powerful, so wonderful, it can bring about enlightenment. It can give you the understanding and wisdom to understand life, to live life, and to be free from all suffering. And if that is what you want, your faith in him, your confidence in him will be very strong. That's why we compose our mind, make the mind very calm, very peaceful, very composed, full of faith, Saddha. Then what we do? We pay respect mindfully. So when you do this too, you develop Saddha, you develop Sati, mindfulness. Mindfulness is when your body and mind move as one without thought. You are already mindful. When you sit down silent without thought, you are already mindful. When you are aware of all the movement, all the activity of physical, mental, and nature's phenomena, without thought, you are already mindful. So Sati can be developed throughout the day, in your daily life, in your meditation, when you pay respect, develop the puja. So Saddha leading to Sati. Then when your Saddha of faith and confidence is very strong, there is an energy inside you that drives you to cultivate, and that is called Virya, the spiritual tenacity or intensity or determination to cultivate what he has taught you. So when you develop this tree, the Buddha said, the other two will follow, Samadhi. Samadhi is the unwavering and collectedness of mind. When your mindfulness becomes very stable, your mind becomes collected, unwavering. So that whenever you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel or think of something, your mind is unwavering. It does not waver like before. It does not stir anymore. That's why it's always at peace. There is this stability of mind. This unwavering and collectedness of mind will make sure you can live life with that calm mind, that stable mind, that mind that has this samadhi to see things as they are. Because you have clarity of mind and thought, then you understand what is going on. Then you can develop the wisdom out of it. Then from there, you understand clearly all of the laws that governs life and existence and how you become what you are. How delusion condition you into all those wrong way of action, wrong action, wrong speech and wrong thought, leading to all the evil roots that condition your suffering. Then as you start to understand all this, this wisdom will arise. You will awaken to a lot of reality or truth within nature. And the Buddha said the most powerful and most important truth is the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature of existence. In Pali, you call it anicca dukkha anatta. When you insight and penetrate into these three universal characteristics, then you can break free from that delusion of self that entangle you for so long. Yeah. That five spiritual faculty, once cultivated, will overcome the hindrance. Then with sati and samadhi, you can meditate very easily. Your mind will listen to you. Yeah. Then you will understand. Then the spiritual faculty will work itself through you. So puja is a very important aspect of developing this five spiritual faculty. Then when it comes to formal meditation, we just train to develop the sati, the mindfulness, so that we can stabilize it, so that this sati will become samadhi. Then you can carry this state into your daily life, to live life. Then from there, you will develop the real wisdom by using the stable mindfulness to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. You combine this stable mindfulness and use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Together, they call heedfulness or apamada. So heedfulness is mindfulness stabilized. Then use it to meditate. And that is heedfulness. And meditation is actually use heedfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So that will complete what you need to know. So now I will give you instruction to meditate. Yeah? Then maybe hopefully you can develop it much more easily. I will off the light. For those who already know how to meditate, you can start. Then thanks Lily. Then for those who are new and those who still need instruction, you just silence your mind, listen to what I guide you. I will teach you a very effective, skillful means to train your mind, to decondition your heedless thinking. And then after that, to train your mind in sati or mindfulness so that it can stabilize. So what I will use is I combine the two skillful means or technique. First is the mind sweeping method. You learn how to relax your body and mind. Then you feel. You don't think, you feel. Then you start from the forehead. Okay, now I will give you the instruction. Relax body and mind. Make sure your backbone is straight. Close your eye. Then silence everything. Then just feel. Feel your forehead. Maintain awareness there. Just feel, don't think. If there's any tightness, any tension, or any stress inside the forehead, relax them. Feel it soothingly, relax. Just relax, relax, and relax. When you can feel it, you just move your attention to your eye muscle. Normally after a tired day, you are quite tired, especially your eye muscle. So you can just feel, then relax every strand of your ciliary muscle, your eye muscle. Feel it soothingly relax. Then after that, you move to your facial muscle. Relax every part. Feel them. Don't think, just feel. Relax every part. Then to assist you further, sometimes you are doing it for the first few times. You may not know how to relax, because unknowingly, through your daily life, which are most of the time not in order, means you are most of the time not happy, not peaceful. That's why you cannot smile. You hardly smile throughout the day. Sometimes you hear a joke, maybe you laugh, but you hardly smile. You're hardly able to smile. Ability to radiate a radiant smile can bring about a very good and very relaxed state within you. You must have joy and happiness in order to smile. So that's why you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Then you can visualize that there is a lot of joy, and that joy will bring about a natural state of relaxation. Then you realize you don't have to force yourself to relax. As long as you have joy and happiness, you are relaxed. So that's why that radiant smile is very important. Learn to be happy. Learn to have joy. Learn to radiate a radiant smile. In life, it's the same. When you can smile towards everything, there is love inside you. There is joy inside you. So this radiant smile is very useful. Then you complement it with loving kindness. Then you radiate by reciting these verses. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Really feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being. As you recite them, the words, you mean it from your heart. May I, this body and mind of mine, you feel your body and mind, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness in your entire body and mind, means your entire being. You must do it until it becomes something very, very like clear to you. Something that you can feel it, that there is really well-being and happiness in you. So when you can radiate all this well-being and happiness to your own bodily cells and mind, your inner well-being will develop. All of your cells will have this inner well-being. Then you will feel very good. That's why you can radiate a few times. May I, this body and mind of mine, feel it. Be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness and the joy inside and the radiant smile. Then you continue. May it be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it, physically and mentally, no suffering when you radiate that metta. Then may it do be free from all danger and harm. Really mean it. Then after that, you wish your mind state, may my mind too be free from all fear, worry, anxiety. Be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within my heart. Do it sincerely. Feel it. Have that joy inside you. Have that peace and calmness inside you. Then you can radiate this same metta to your loved ones, somebody very close to you. Your loved ones can be your parent, your children, your spouse, or your very good friend. Or somebody you have great respect and affection. reflection form. Likewise, you visualize them radiating a radiant smile, then from your heart you radiate, "May my loved ones do be well and happy, well and happy." Radiate this well-being and happiness to him or her, then feel it from your heart going outward towards them. Then you continue, "May my loved ones do also be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all do be free from harm and danger too. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, without fear, worry and anxiety. May they always keep themselves calm and peaceful. May there be love, and may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too." Then you can continue to radiate this same love and metta to all your Dhamma friends, all of your fellow meditators who are here, and all beings within this vicinity. May all beings, known and unknown, seen and unseen, within this vicinity of Suyan's house and Subhangjaya, together with all Dhamma friends and all our meditator friends who are here tonight, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy. Radiate this well-being and happiness to them all. Then you wish them, "May their mind and body to be free from all suffering. May they all to be free from all physical and mental suffering, free from all danger and harm. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their hearts too be without fear, without worry and anxiety. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts." Then you continue to radiate this metta to all beings throughout the entire existence. May all beings within the whole of Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our Mother Earth planet, solar system, galaxy, the entire universe, may all beings be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all to be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm, more peaceful, more relaxed. You go back to your facial muscle, feel it, relax every part. Feel your facial muscles soothingly relaxed, peaceful and calm. Then you move your attention to your neck, feel relaxed, shoulder, feel relaxed, hand, feel relaxed, back to shoulder. Then you move it to your heart or your chest area. This is a very important location within your entire human body. Your heart, it is the seat of consciousness. It is where the heartbeat arises and passes away. It is where the life force arises and passes away. So you just silence your mind, relax and feel. You can detect any vibration or even your heartbeat. You just silence everything and stay there. If you are new, if you have not developed the training of mind, you have not developed the silent mind or the meditative mind, or your mindfulness is still not developed, not refined, then you just relax and feel like you feel your forehead, just feel your heart. Then just relax every part. Then you move on to your stomach, feel it, relax, don't think, Then you go to your abdomen. Feel, silence yourself, just feel. Then relax every part there. Then you move it to your leg, your buttock. Do the same. Just feel, relax. Don't think. Then you reverse the whole mind sweeping method from your leg to your buttock, to your abdomen. Feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Heart, do the same. Feel, relax. Shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, feel, relax. Facial muscle, do the same. Eye muscle, forehead. This mind sweeping method is very useful, very powerful, and you can use it correctly. It will help you to decondition your heedless thinking, because when you feel and relax, you don't think. Then it actually makes you more calm and more peaceful. The second advantage is because you do it so often, you train it so often, your mind becomes trained. If you want it to be at the forehead, it stays there. If you want it to be at the heart, it stays there. If you want it to feel, it do just that. It doesn't think. So over a period of time, when you relax more, and you just feel and allow the mind to be, then the heedless thinking, the hindrance, they will slowly disappear. It is like you decondition all your heedless thinking until you throughout the day just feel and relax, peaceful, calm, no more thinking. And then your faith very strong. And then the mindfulness will develop, because when the mind is peaceful, relaxed and silent without thought, it is mindful. Then after that, you can use it to meditate. If you feel that you are still not calm enough, not relaxed enough, you want to do it for a second time, the mind sweeping method is up to you. In fact, the more you train, the better. Then after, when you are skillful, you can meditate very easily. No need to train anymore. But for most people, because you have been heedless for so long, that's why you need to train. Then the reason why people recommend methods and technique or object of meditation to you is because they don't understand how to train the mind. So they need something to anchor the mind. That's why the method, technique and the object of meditation comes about. All this method, technique is a series of instructions to train the mind. But very few people understand that. So they overlook the actual purpose of all this method and technique, thinking that when you do them, you are meditating. No. When you use this method, technique and meditation object, it's just a skillful means to anchor your mind so that it is mindful of that object of meditation. It is mindful of that technique that you are using, so that you can stabilize it after that. So what the Buddha teaches, he used a very neutral object that is suitable for most people. He said our breathing. That's why he teaches us to be mindful of this breathing, which is very natural. He called it anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So when you can develop this training of the mind to be mindful, then your stability of mindfulness will be established. So to do that is the same. Instead of feeling your forehead, now you feel your breathing. You relax body and mind, silence everything, close your eye. Then now you feel your breath in front of your nostril. Just feel. The moment you detect your breathing, allow it to go on naturally. Don't force your breathing. Just relax and let it breathe naturally. Then the moment your mind is aware of it, the Buddha said, when you feel it, just like you feel your forehead, then you just allow the mind to follow that breathing. When you follow that breathing without thought, mind and breath as one, that is the sati. So that's why the Buddha said, Breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. Means the mind is aware. Sati. So the key to this training is, initially you are not skillful, like badminton or learning how to cycle a bicycle, you will tend to fall. Split second, you will go off. So your mindfulness is lost within split second. No problem. Like my instruction on the whiteboard, the first step is just relax body and mind, then maintain awareness in front of the nostril. Just silence your mind, just aware. Then you follow your breathing. Then this breath is very useful. So you expect this mindfulness to wander off even for many, many times. But every time it wanders off, don't panic. Just patiently, without any reaction, bring it back. Continue to train, like riding a bicycle. Fall down, bring it back. Fall down, bring it back. But this one, the worst is it wanders off. You don't get hurt. So you only need to train. So constantly bring the awareness back to the breathing. If you are patient enough, you can do it every day. Maybe every morning when you wake up and every night before you sleep and in between whenever you are free. You do this training, starting with 10, 15 minutes, then half an hour, then maybe 45 minutes to an hour. You can do that. Your sati will come very fast. Your anapanasati will develop very fast. Then when this mindfulness or in and out breath becomes stabilized, then you realize the mind doesn't wander off anymore. The mind is fully aware of this breathing in and breathing out. Then breathing in, you tranquilize the breath, you make it peaceful, relax. Then later on, when this mindfulness or in and out breath becomes so stable, the mind develops piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture that you will experience once the mind is in sati. Once you are mindful without thought. So when piti arises, there is a lot of joy. You will love to meditate. You will like to meditate. Then this piti can become more and more refined. You continue to relax. Continue to develop this training of mindfulness or in and out breath. Then you continue to silence your mind. Then the piti will become more and more refined, until it becomes very blissful. They call it sukha. Sukha is a very, very fine state of bliss. And you feel so good, so blissful within. Your mind state becomes so calm, so peaceful, so blissful. And because of that, all of your cells within your body, together with your consciousness, they become very calm, very composed. And it will bring about a very positive calmness energy that will develop the well-being inside you. That's why inner peace will lead to inner well-being. Then all these cells that has become very calm and very peaceful with all the piti and the sukha that you experience, they will help boost your immune system. That's why you become more healthy. Then when you don't think, a lot of mental energy is conserved. That's why your whole energy field within your body is charged up. Then your energy field, they call it the chakra system and the nadi, they will start to move on their own. That's why when your spinal cord is straight, there is a chi that flows from your heart up to your brain. Then a lot of things will be experienced. And this is how meditation works. Then after a while, piti and sukha will continue to stabilize. Then finally you will come to a stage where there is little or no breathing. Like there is a total stoppage of breathing, like the breath becomes so subtle to the extent that you cannot feel. When this happens, it is a good sign, but do not panic. You just silence your mind. Don't do anything. Continue to relax and continue to silence. Then if you can, you feel your heart. Anchor it to any point that has the vibration or heartbeat that you can detect. Then after a while, this silent mind will become very stable on its own. Means the mind don't need an object of meditation really. It can just stay at anywhere you locate in your body. The reason why I ask you to go to the heart is because this is the easiest place to train that silent mind. The heartbeat is constantly there. It is very prominent. But because your sati has reached a more refined level, you can just stay there and feel that heartbeat. You don't need a stethoscope. That more refined mindfulness can detect the heartbeat there. Then this heartbeat after a while will become more and more fine, more and more quiet, more and more subtle, until like no more heartbeat. Then after that, your mind is in sati. You will start to experience a tremendous phenomena. You realize anywhere you put your mind, the ability to be mindful becomes so clear, so refined, that even the subtle breathing that you already didn't detect earlier on start to come back to you. Even that subtle breathing is like a lot of things happening inside there. There anywhere you allow this mind to be, you can detect the vibration, everything that is inside your form very clearly. Then the mindfulness that you have, they like magnify. Any very minor movement is like magnified into a very big movement. Then your awareness of it is very different. You are fully aware and mindful without thought. Then after that, when you come out of meditation, that mindfulness follows you. Then you can stabilize this within your daily life. Then every moment of sense experience, that mindfulness is there. Means your mind is already in sati. Technically, you don't need any object of meditation to meditate. You can be mindful and silent on your own. You don't need to anchor it anywhere. The mind can have no more dwelling. If the mind still needs dwelling, means it's not stable yet, not trained. So with that, maybe I will allow you to continue your meditation. I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Then we can have our second session. For those who already know how to meditate, already develop the silent mind, then you just silent everything and just develop that awareness to understand what is going on within your form and mind. How your sense door function, how external phenomena upon contact trigger off sense door consciousness. Then through your awareness you see very clearly how it arises, the dependent origination. Then how your mind latches onto it, stir, react and create all those movements. You will witness very clearly all of the four noble truths, all of the dependent origination that the Buddha talked about. Then all of the hindrance, all of the five aggregates of form and mind, the five hindrance, the five spiritual faculties, the seven factors for enlightenment, the four noble truths, they are all there. And you will see them very clearly. And this is the true vipassana. Okay, now I let you all meditate on your own. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed through this training. The mind that is trained is very different, is very useful, like I always said. When you train it until it become very skillful, it's like you train yourself in any sports, badminton or what, you become very skillful in the way you use the mind. It's like badminton, you train until you're so skillful in the way you swing and smash, flip, or lob, using the racket. So here you train the mind to be peaceful, to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness, silent. That is the mindfulness. Then you stabilize it. Then live it. Use it to live life. Use it to actually develop the daily mindfulness in life. That is the real meditation. It's only when you can use this mind that is trained, that is mindful and aware, then develop the stability of it, then use it in your daily life. They call it the daily mindfulness. Mindfulness of four posture. When you're standing, you are aware. Walking, you are aware. Turning, bending, you are aware. Then looking forward, you are aware. Then whatever you do with your form and your mind, you are fully aware. Means you are aware of all action, all movement in the present moment. And that is the daily mindfulness. Then later on, even when you eat, you must be aware. When you drink, when you taste anything, when you blink your eye, when you move your hand, when you raise from your seat, when you answer nature's call, when you put on your clothing, when you undress or whatever, you have to develop the mindfulness. The reason why you have to do it is because that is the only way to anchor the mind to your physical body, to your physical movement and action. Because all this action and movement are in the present moment. You cannot be aware, mind and body as one. Your mind will think a lot. You will become heedless. Because you can only do a thing, one thing at a time. Either you are mindful and aware of something, or you are lost in thought, heedless. So mindfulness is a very important training, a very important understanding. So when you can reverse all this heedless living and transform it into mindful living, then you become a different human being. Then the Buddha said, when you have heedfulness, you never die. You are destined for enlightenment. It's very simple. You only need to be mindful, heedful. Whereas the heedless, who never train, they are as if dead, spiritually dead, no more hope for enlightenment. So meditation is very simple, if you understand. You have to train your mind to be mindful, to be silent, to be aware. Then use it to live life, to develop the wisdom that will allow you to understand clearly what life is, who are you, what are you, how this mind functions, and how you get yourself entangled with all those what they call sense experience that delude you through your ignorance, through your lack of wisdom and understanding. So all this, they are comprehensible. They can be understood just through a silent inner awareness that see clearly what is going on. And it is through your direct seeing that you start to understand how everything come to be, what the form and mind is all about, what the human being is all about, what the consciousness is all about, what the thought is all about, what are the aggregates of mind all about, how come there is feeling, and is the feeling really what you think you are, how come you can arise the thought, and is the thought what you think you are, then is there a thinker behind the thought? How come you can arise perception and consciousness? You can become conscious of everything you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile, feel, and think. And what is consciousness? And when consciousness arises, what happens? All this you will understand when you have trained your mind in sati. Otherwise, you cannot understand. That's why the real meditation is very different from what is commonly perceived to be. Without sati, there is no way to understand. For sati is life. Sati is the real mind state that is very near your true mind. When you are with your sati without thought, you are with your present awareness, the eternal mind, the one mind that is never born and never mind, never die. So because of that, all of meditator and cultivator, they try to understand what this is. And nowadays there are a lot of teachers, maybe authors, who talk about present moment awareness, talk about this presence, talk about this non-duality. Then they try to stay with that. So all this, if you don't understand clearly what is going on, it is still not the ultimate. It can bring you to a level of understanding that is fairly good, quite good, but it's still not complete and not the ultimate, because the ultimate is to realize that cessation leading to Nibbana, leading to the oneness, leading to the return to the source, to understand how everything begins. So that part is very difficult. It needs to be realized because it's beyond thought, beyond words. So okay, having explained that, now we open it up for the second session. Second session is meditation reporting, Q&A. You can report your meditation, then you can ask me whatever question that is related to the meditation, that is related to the teaching, anything that you don't understand. Then the third one is how you can apply what you have learned from the meditation here and the teaching to allow you to understand life, to overcome all of your problems that you encounter in life, so that you know how to apply the teaching and the Dhamma, so that you can develop the benefits of training your mind. The six benefits are written up there. I explained them before. Benefits of meditation. The first two obvious benefits is inner peace, leading to inner well-being. Then because there is inner peace and inner well-being, there is mindfulness and clarity. You have the third benefit of inner clarity. And that clarity of mind can allow you to see things as they are. And because of that, it develops the fourth benefit of wisdom, understanding. And when you have wisdom and understanding, your life becomes very different. Possibility of enlightenment is there. And that wisdom can help you in so many ways to bring about what they call goodness, happiness, joy. Then because of that, the spin-off from this wisdom is very, very, what they call very rich and very, very powerful. The spin-off from it can actually develop what they call blessing to the world. You can be a blessing to many. Then you can improve the world consciousness. Your life will change. Those who have relationship with you will benefit. Then because of that, your body and mind will be very different. It will transform itself. and you will sleep very well. You will have very good sleep. No more insomnia. No more problem with sleep. No more nightmare. Then you will study better. Anything you want to do, even your career, you will do better. Because all those benefits will bring about a very efficient mind, a very good and very clear mind that understand with clarity to allow you to attend to whatever situation in life that you need to attend to. And that clarity can also allow you to seek solution to all your career problem, to all your life problem. Then you can resolve things amicably, leading to a lot of what they call harmony, understanding, love and compassion, joy. So all these benefits will arise and it will unfold in you as you develop the meditation to a very, very refined state. Okay, now I open up. Anybody want to report his or her meditation or ask any question, make use of the session. You can also ask me whatever you want to know with regards to the talk I gave last night at the international seminar. I told you all to prepare written questions. If you have, you can bring it out. Okay, anybody? If you don't ask questions, you can never learn. Don't be shy. Anybody wants to report? Relax. Don't be so serious. When it comes to question, nobody look at me. Everybody look down. Because you have to be natural, understand? Why? Just be yourself. Be yourself. Truly. No need to have fear. No need to worry about anything. Just relax. You are here to meditate. Understand? To develop the training of the mind, to be peaceful, to be relaxed, to be silent. Why are you so tense? Why are you so, what they call, like unnatural? You are not here to become miserable. So when you understand that, you just relax and be yourself. Then just like in the office, express yourself. That's how you learn. Don't worry about what you say. It's just like when you go to school. Then after that, when you graduate, you have to come out and apply for a job. Correct? So first thing is, a lot of students, they have this phobia attending interview. A lot of fear. Then when they got the job ready, when they attend meeting, first few meeting, a lot of fear, they not prepared. Then they don't know how to express themselves in the meeting. They just keep quiet. Until they have the experience. Then they start to put up their hand and all that. You don't wait till that time. Then you learn too slow. You are already so mature in your life and in your career. So take meditation as something that you want to learn seriously. Then you express yourself. You ask questions. That's why the Westerner, in that sense, is so much better. Anything they're not sure, they put up their hand and they question you. But that is their education system. They don't believe what you say. But sometimes, too much question also no good. Because they don't want to find out the answer themselves. Everything they want to challenge you. Then it becomes what? Argument, debate. It is supposed to be a sharing, a brainstorming session where we can learn from each other. Then through your question, it creates a condition for Dhamma to flow, for me to explain. Then it benefits not only you, everybody. So don't worry about how you report. Don't go and say, I don't know how to meditate, how to report. If you ask me, I don't know what to say. And then you don't learn. So you just speak exactly, yes, Eddie.
Is it normal when you meditate, right? You could start with,
Yes.
Is it normal? Because I started like,
Yes. So what is your answer? I know your question now. What is your answer? That's why I always say, what you must meditate with understanding. Don't believe what people tell you. Don't do without understanding. So your question is, you start with metta last time. So now you are told a different technique. So you ask a question, is it a norm to do this mind sweeping method and all those things first? That question to me doesn't exist. Because when I start, I already explained to you why I want you to train to do that. Why? No, compose is the faith, the sadha. Because you have this hindrance. That's, you think a lot. You are so heedless. Throughout the day, this mind has developed this habitual thinking. Until it's so habitual to you. Every moment you cannot stop thinking. You don't believe, you go and check. So what you do? You come here and sit. You force yourself to be silent. It can never be silent. Because this habitual tendency has become so habitual. It's like an automatic process. So automatic process has this momentum. That's why you have to decondition this heedless thinking. How you decondition? You have to stop that thinking. But how to stop? You cannot just tell the mind not to think. You try, it won't work. It think more, it become more disturbed. So what is mind sweeping method? That's why I say you just feel, then you relax. Means what? You don't allow it to think anymore. But the mind, you got nothing for it to do, it will wander off, it will think. Understand? Split second is here, split second is there. Understand? Depend on your sense, consciousness, depend on your condition, then the thought will manifest. Then sometimes your fear, your accumulated scars of memory, your problem, everything, respond to memory, the thought keep on coming out. And the thing that haunts you is always the one you attach and worry about. All of your problems. That's why last time I remember you came and asked me some questions. You have problem with sleeping. And all those thoughts keep on coming, but that is your problem. So when you have problem, you cannot resolve, you worry. Then you become sleepless. You cannot sleep. Then you have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety. You become restless. That's why you cannot sleep. And that's what is happening. So the Buddha said, in order to overcome that, you need to develop the spiritual faculty. So spiritual faculty, we start with the puja. Your sadha is there, you compose, then you pay respect mindfully. Understand? So sadha, sati, and virya is there. So that's why after that you start meditation. You only need to decondition the heedless thinking. So that's why you start with mind sweeping method. You realize after you do that, if you do it sincerely, you become more peaceful. There is less thinking. Before that 10 to 15 minutes, you just feel and relax, no thought. Understand? Then this mind sweeping method has so much benefit. It trains your mind to be where you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it will stay there. The reason why it stays there is because you allow it to do something but not thinking. That's why I say feel. If there is any tension, any tightness or stress within, you just relax. Then this mind can stay there. Understand? But if you tell that guy to stay there every time at the forehead, it develops boredom. You become boring. That's why you must move it. Then it becomes some activity that you can continue. Then you relax your eye muscle. So the intent is train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then stop your thinking through feeling and relax. Feeling and relax. Then when you sweep it through your body, it means what? You allow every part of your physical body and mental to relax, 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 relax. When you are able to be relaxed, you become peaceful naturally. No thought means no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no problem. But the moment you come out of meditation, you recall your problem, then all these hindrances come back to you. That's why you cannot meditate. That's why back in your daily life, you find it so difficult to be peaceful, to be mindful, to be aware. But how come people who already know how the mind functions and have developed the understanding, got no problem. For the last 20 over to 30 years, I got no problem. Every moment, every instant, I'm aware, mindful. Why? How come I can do it? You ask yourself. Even now talking to you, I got no thought. How come it's possible? It's silent inside. That's why it can be done. You only need to reverse all this, because you have been living life like that for so long. And the Buddha called this heedless living, because you are hardly mindful, hardly aware. You remember the notes I give to you, the international seminar? Moment to moment life passes by, what are you doing? You are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. So much so you never leave, because you are never with the moment in silent awareness to experience life. To really, really experience all of the beauty and wonders of life within that moment, without thought. How come you cannot do that? And you know that is the only reality. Because life is equal to existence. To live life, to exist, correct? And existence is time related, isn't it? You have your three periods of time. When you talk about life and existence, you got your past, you got your present, you got your future. Of all these three that you call life, the whole spectrum of time can be defined in these three, isn't it? Which is the reality? Which is the reality? And the present moment, why? Because past is something that is already gone. Understand not? No more reality, gone, dead and gone. Future, yet to come. Understand not? How can it be a reality? Something hasn't happened yet. So what is the reality? Every moment. Moment to moment, life arises and passes away. Understand not? Every moment is life. Every moment is the reality. So this is the only reality in life, Anasana. And if you cannot experience this moment and live, how can you understand life, Anasana? That's why I ask the question, moment to moment, life passes by, and this is the only reality in life. What are you doing within the moment, every of this moment when life arises and passes away? You are hardly aware of the moment. You are conscious of life, but you never leave, because you are never aware. So you are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying. Every day you are doing that. And, you think a lot, you plan a lot, then you worry a lot. Sometimes when things go your way, there is joy. Even while you have joy, while you eat your good food, you think a lot. Do you realize that? When you wake up and brush your teeth, you think a lot. You are not aware of how you move from your bed and go into your bathroom. And how you actually move, your awareness of your four posture is all not there. Then the connecting activity, you totally heedless, not aware. How your hand go to the doorknob and open. And how you move in and how you answer nature's call. How you do all those things. How you brush your teeth. You never aware. You just do it with the thought going on. And your thought is so far ahead of your action. You are never with the moment. That's why the Buddha called it heedless living. When you live your life that way, you don't have mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you cannot be heedful. Without heedfulness, there is no meditation. There is no inner peace, inner well-being. There is no inner clarity. But meditation has many types. The one that the Buddha teaches is mindfulness, awareness. And to do it, to have this benefit, is very difficult. So what people do is, they cannot do mindfulness. They go and do concentration. Understand? They focus on the object of meditation. They develop one-pointedness. They do light kasina, water kasina, earth kasina. Then they focus the mind. You can do that. You become very peaceful, very quiet. But there is no awareness inside there. And you cannot develop wisdom. That one you develop energy field, psychic ability. and that is not the purpose of meditation as taught by the Buddha. You can try, no problem. Sometimes people like it. They say the energy field is so strong, they become so peaceful, so calm, like they are enlightened. Then they can do a lot of psychic ability. So they thought this is going to make them very special. Then they try to read your mind, read people's mind. Then they try to fly through the space, levitate. Then you see them doing a lot of other things. But finally, you still have suffering. So all those that you can do, your psychic, cannot guarantee you no death, no old age, no sickness, no problem in life. And that's the first noble true reality. When it hit, all the psychic cannot help you. You finally need to experience them. And without wisdom, suffering is still the end result. So that's why this meditation is about mindfulness and heedfulness. So coming back to your question, which is very good. So now you ask, everybody start to understand better, because I realize, no matter how many times I repeat, very difficult to go in. Very few of you can get what I really want you to understand. I always say you must meditate with understanding. If you meditate without understanding, you don't know what you do, all the questions will come out. Understand? Last time I do like that. Why now Brother Tio asked me to do like that? So you think the method and technique is very important. It's nothing to do with that. As I said, you can use any method, any technique, as long as you know why you use them and what is meditation, then you can arrive at the same solution, the same understanding. But if you don't understand, then you do without understanding, then this question come out. Why I sweep? I already explained is to decondition your heedless thinking. You know what is heedless thinking or not? Habitual tendency, is it? I swing this. There's a momentum in that. Because I swing it. Understand not? Your thinking also same, no? You think until it's so habitual, it becomes automatic, no? Mechanical, no? Like there's a momentum there, no? So how to stop that thinking? You have to break it somewhere. The only way to break it is to don't think. Means you must have mindfulness. The moment you are aware, mindful, this thinking stops. Even for one split second moment. When it stops, you want to swing this again, you need a lot of energy and force in that to move it again. But when it's moving, like automatic, you don't need to do anything. You will keep on swinging, understand? Build the momentum, carry it through, understand? So the heedless thinking, how can you stop? That's why you must feel relaxed. And then it will decondition this heedless thinking, which has become habitual momentum. So when this one stops, then you have more and more moment of peace. Understand? And then you see the difference between the peaceful mind and the heedless thinking mind. The peaceful mind, because it don't have thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, because no problem. No thought means no problem. Understand? Thought come, you recall your problem. You recall through memory all those that you want to attend to. Understand? Your so-called problems of life. Understand? It can be your career problem, financial problem, children's problem, or anything related to life. Understand? Sometimes you worry about your loved ones. Sometimes you worry about your health. Your other, what they call attachment. Sometimes you worry about things that you badly wanted. So when you cannot get what you want, you also suffer. You also have a lot of problems. Then when there is relationship problem, misunderstanding, especially with your children, with your spouse, with your parents, your brothers, your sister, your good friend, I tell you, it is a lot of problem. It's a big problem. And they don't know how to resolve it. And they worry about it so much. And they get angry with themselves sometimes. And they hate themselves for causing all this. So all this is part and parcel of life reality that the Buddha talked about under the first noble truth. then there is fear of death, fear of separation, fear of disease, fear of getting old, fear of not able to meet up with the expectation of society and the peer pressure. Then a lot of what they call life-related issue, they can bring about so much fear, worry, and life. And all this becoming a problem. In the older days, they don't have so much problem. Modern society, a lot more. So when you start to see all this, you ask yourself, if I don't understand life, the end result is suffering. As you move through life, you start to encounter more and more of the first noble truth reality. The first four, birth, old age, sickness, and death. The first one, maybe you can witness them, birth. So let's say you understand what birth is, then how suffering comes to be. But getting old, getting sick, and die come later part in your life, understand? That's why most people, they are not bothered about those few things. They say, hey, don't talk about that. I'm still so young, I'm very healthy. Why you want to talk about getting old? That one, let the old people worry. But sooner or later, you live long enough, you encounter. But then, the next one is separation from loved one. That one, youngster also encounter. Divorce and all those things. Then death and all those things. Then you start to encounter, because as you go through life, you meet more and more people. People whom you don't like. Not so friendly. They give you problems. Then when you cannot get what you want, even your children throw tantrum at you, understand? Every time they ask for something they cannot get. You say, why daddy, mommy like that? My friend can get. Then sometimes they compare. Why Jeje get, I don't get. So all this is going to bring about a lot of misunderstanding and confusion. The thought think differently, negatively. They perceive you wrongly. There is this craving for what they want. And when they cannot get what they want, they react through what? Through their negative thought. Then they throw tantrum. Then they argue with you. They fight with you. Then they run away from your house. Then you get panic. Then the wife, the mother will tell the husband, why you go and scold him? See, now what happened? Then you worry. Then you try to go and look for him. Then talk to him nicely. And then ask him to come back again. But this will not solve your problem. You need the Dhamma to solve your problem. So meditation is like that. You must understand, then you can do it well. It's just like anything. Chess, badminton, football, what? At least you must know the rules of the game. Then you train yourself, then you talk to somebody who understands, then they will tell you which are the essential things that you must do to be good at that game. Then the rules of the game you must understand. And then only you can play well. Otherwise cannot. Meditation is the same. You must know what is meditation. Then only you know what to train, what are the essential things that you have to train. It's very easy to say, oh, I train my mind to be peaceful. I want to be peaceful. But then you don't even know why are you not peaceful. So how are you going to train? That's why all these are the essential Dhamma that points towards the training. And you have to understand them. That's why before I start, I really reminded you all, try to understand all this, because these are the essential Dhamma that I always bring you back. And when you understand this, actually you don't need me. You can meditate on your own. You can develop your own understanding. Until you have problems, then maybe you come and ask questions. That's not. But if this basic Dhamma also you don't know, how can you start? That's not. It's just like you want to be good in badminton. You don't even know that you have to buy a racket. You don't even know that this racket you must learn how to hold and how to swing and how to develop the skill or the stroke. Then the rule of the game of the god. All this you don't want to find out. You want to play badminton. How to play? That's why somebody who knows that, okay, you must go and buy a racket. Initially, no money, buy a cheap one, second-hand one. Then this racket, you must know how to use it. Then they train you, understand? Then when you become skillful, means what? You put in the effort, the diligence to train. And then when you start to do that, you realize you start to like the game because you can execute those strokes and you can play a game. And then you have joy. Then you determine to train well because you have a mission to become a very good player. And one day maybe you think you can be a national champ. Then you can be a world player, world-class player. So all this will motivate you and stimulate you. So meditation is not to be a world champ. Meditation is to develop the wisdom so that your life improves. Understand? So that you can understand life. So that you can free your mind. You don't have to suffer unnecessarily. You don't have to have problems of life anymore. You can develop that training to become peaceful and have good health, inner well-being, all this. It is a byproduct of meditation. Then that clarity can allow you to do things very efficiently. And you can sleep very well. Then you can develop your ability to understand things very well. Then you can have the understanding of life, to live life, so that you can be a blessing to all. And all these are possible through the meditation and through the teaching. So now that question is very useful and I clear up a lot of things. That's why you all should thank Eddie, because this is really what he feels. He doesn't understand, that's why he asks. And it's because you ask, I can explain. And then when you understand, the next time you know why, you have to start with this mind sweeping method. But after you're already skillful, it's just like badminton, you train already until your stroke is so skillful already. I don't ask you to train your stroke anymore, understand? Then what do you do? I ask you to go and play the game. And that is meditation, understand? Means real life game. No more training your stroke, no more playing with yourself, understand? Now you go into real game. Then in the real game, I will teach you different things, understand? To be a good player, you have to learn many things, understand? You have to learn how to cover the court first, and how to move in the court, your speed, understand? And where to stand, and how to actually play the game, depending on your opponent. Because your opponent can be anybody, and he can have a lot of different skills. Sometimes he's a left-hander, understand? So you must know all this. You cannot say, oh, my coach say, give it to his back hand. You every time play with the right-hander. Then suddenly the left-hander come, you give to the back hand, it become his forehand. Then he smash you. Then he realize, what is happening? Oh, then only you realize that guy is a left-hander. Too late. So you must not wait till things happen. Because you believe, you don't find out. You believe your coach, you depend on your coach. Coach say, then you do. But you as a player must observe. Meditation is the same. Whatever I tell you is just for you to understand so that you develop your own understanding. And when you understand, you play the game yourself intelligently. Understand? With understanding. There is the difference between Lin Tan and Li Chongwei. Li Chongwei depend on coach. Lin Tan don't depend on coach. He got coach. But he doesn't believe the coach. He listened to the coach, then he devised his own understanding and he played the game then. That's why Li Chongwei only beat him when he is out of form. Skill-wise, technique-wise, understanding-wise, Lin Tan is above him. That's why he finds it very difficult to beat this guy. So badminton or whatever meditation is the same. You must do with understanding. Wisdom can bring about a lot of difference between the two players. So what you do, you must train the mind. You must train the mind until you are so skillful like badminton. You can see the analogy there. You have not even trained yourself. How can you play that game? So meditation is the same. If you not train your mind, means what? If you want this mind to be silent, he will be silent. You want it to be at a point, he will be at a... this is training. Then this mind listen to you, can do what you want it to do. Then the mind become your servant. It serves you. It become a tool for you to use. Then it depends on the user. The user of thought, the user of the mind. If you have wisdom, then thought become right thought. then mind becomes useful. And, if the user of thought is deluded, stupid, ignorant, greedy, selfish, emotional, thought become evil. Thought become wrong thought. That's why you suffer. That's why meditation is to develop the wisdom so that the user of this mind is wise. It's like money. People who don't know, they say money is the root of all evil. You blame money. But it's not money. Money can be very useful. If the user of money is very charitable, very, what they call, compassionate, very kind, very wise, then money becomes wholesome. He uses it for a lot of wholesome activity, generosity, and help people. And then money becomes good. So it's not the money. It's the user of money. Money becomes evil if the user is evil. If the user have a selfish, what they call intention, to hire assassin to kill. Nowadays, so many. They say 2,000, you can get one. So, money becomes evil because they use it to do evil things. So, your thought is the same. When you train your mind, without wisdom, it's very dangerous. But with wisdom, then that mind becomes useful. And when you know that this mind is for you to use, use it wisely, use it correctly. That's why the Buddha say under Noble Eightfold Path, right thought. Don't go and use it wrongly to arise the wrong thought. What is wrong thought? Thought that condition your suffering, misery. Whatever you think that make you unhappy, full of fear, worry, anxiety and sadness, very selfish and very emotional or deluded, these are wrong thoughts. Whereas right thoughts are thoughts that brings about a lot of calmness, peace, harmony, goodness, kindness, then sincerity, contentment, gratitude, respect. All these are right thoughts. So that's why how you use the mind depends on you. If you don't have wisdom, you become heedless. That's why you must make haste to train this mind and meditate and to understand the laws that govern life and existence. When you understand the law, you will know how to abide by this nature's law. And then, whatever you want, because you understand this law, you will know how to create the condition for it to arise. Understand? So like the law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. And we are all born of karma, heir to karma. You are what you are because of your karma. And you are conditioned and supported by your karma every moment, every instant. So when you have this right view, you know that this is a nature's law. What must you do? You must take care of karma. That's how the teaching comes about. And to take care of karma means you must avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind to develop the wisdom. And this is the advice of all the Buddha. And to do that, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is about right view, right understanding of the law that governs life and existence. Then only you can arise the right thought, right speech and right action. Without the right view, you cannot arise the right thought. Where the user of thought must have understanding. So that's why the Noble Eightfold Path leads to wisdom, leads to avoiding evil and doing good. And that is the advice of the Buddha. So when you start to understand all this, you realize the teaching is actually very complete, very related to life, and very important and very useful. So that when I know this is the one that governs almost 99.99% of my life, because I'm born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, I am what I am because of the karma. So if I don't take care of karma, my life will be miserable when I come. Every time I am born, I need to inherit this karma. I'm born of it. I'm heir to it. And I'm conditioned and supported by it. Every moment, every instant. I cannot blame others for what happened to me every moment, every instant of my life. And I'm what I am. This life, every life, because of my karma. So when I realize this, I see the importance of karma. So what must I do? I must avoid all evil to good. And how do I do that? I must train my mind not to be heedless, to have the spiritual faculty, to have the mindfulness, so that I can see my mental intention behind everything I do, or my action, speech, and thought, so that I don't violate this nature's law. That's why the Buddha said, to avoid all evil, you have to keep your precept. That's why we start by renewing our precept. And all this is related to what he teach you. Then you see the connection between everything that he teach you. Then you start to understand clearly that his teaching is so beautiful, so direct, so potent. That's why everything finally points back to what? Your life. You decide how you want to live. Nobody can help you. You hold the key, to your own life destiny. Whether you are happy or miserable entirely depends on how you decide to live your life. If you choose to be heedless, no need to meditate, no need to train. Go and do what you are doing now. And then don't blame anybody for what happened to your life. Later on, when you confront the realities, you don't go and worry about life. You don't go and fear death. After I die, what happens? Then you start to question, who died, what died. Then you go and believe all those things, ghosts and all those things. You have so much fear because you don't understand. But when you meditate, you understand the mind. You understand a very important secret of life. You know who you are, what you are. You know what is this human being all about, the form and mind. Then you know what death is, nothing dies. Then you know what ghost is, what non-human is. You can understand them, you can feel them. And with the consciousness, when you meditate and go in, it can come out, and you can know. A lot of things you will come to understand, and it's comprehensible. But consciousness and mind is the field that the spiritual practitioner only can know. If you don't go into this field, you cannot understand. Like the scientists, they are so advanced in the first two nature's law, physical law and biological law, Buddha Niyama and Vijja Niyama. So for us, it's just the three important spiritual law: law of karma, law of the mind, how your mind function and work. Essentially, it's the dependent origination, the dwelling, Paticca Samuppada. Then the last one is Dhamma Niyama, the universal order of Dhamma. Of all the truth that the Buddha teach, the Dhamma that the Buddha share with you. So when you understand these three, you become like the scientist, expert in the spiritual field. Then you can transcend birth and death. You will know what death is. You will know what the consciousness is, the mind is. Then you will know what this human being is all about. Then you can understand all of existence. That's why his teaching is so complete, so beautiful. Okay, another 5 minutes. Any more questions? That's why you must ask questions. Don't worry about your questions. Just be relaxed, Asana. Be yourself. Then be honest. Just say what you don't understand. Then you will learn. If you just keep quiet and look, stare at the mat, there is no condition for Dhamma to unfold. Okay, Eddie? Good.
In other words,
you have to train your mind, not focus, like I said, you have to train your mind to make it aware, heedful. Before you start, you must develop the spiritual faculty as well. That's why the pre-puja, develop the faith in the Buddha, the virya, then pay respect mindfully, then you calm yourself down. Then you develop this mind-sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking so that you have more and more moment of peace, so that you understand the difference between a peaceful mind, a heedful mind, and a heedless mind. When you see the two, this one is so peaceful and so beautiful, understand? Make you feel so good. The other one make you feel restless, understand? Full of fear, problem, worry, anxiety. You want to choose that one, or not? And this one, the nature's law, make you miserable, understand? Whereas when you train yourself to have that spiritual faculty, you become so composed, so calm, so mindful, so aware. Then you can develop this understanding of life through that mind that is trained. So that's why the mind stream method is the first process of decondition your heedless thinking so that you don't think so much. That is the first step. That is how you become more peaceful, more relaxed, and more aware. Then like I said, when you have this state, because there is no thought, you don't think. When you don't think, the problem don't come. Understand? Then there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sadness, no sorrow, no lament. That's why you become peaceful. But the moment you come out of meditation and you start to think and worry, all these hindrances come back to you. Understand? That's why you cannot maintain it in your daily life. So to develop this ability to maintain in your daily life, you have to stabilize that calmness. Stabilize that mindfulness, anasana. That's why after that I ask you to go to anapanasati, anasana. Then anapanasati, you realize every time you want to be mindful of the breathing, it just wander off because it's so habitual. Split second, your awareness gone. You don't believe you try. Even they try to count 1 to 10. Sometimes before the 10 is already turned away. Like Joyce, where is Joyce? Where is Joyce? I saw her coming in. Oh, there. He used the word quantum leap, the thought. Before you know, it has split second gone off and create all the story. And like, your thought moves so fast ahead of your action and movement. That's why you can never be with the moment. That's why your daily mindfulness is not easy, because this mind think a lot, heedless. So meditation is to understand that first. To train this mind, you have to decondition the heedless thinking. Then you have to develop the spiritual faculty. You have to stabilize that mindfulness. That's why after the mind sweeping method, you are more calm, more peaceful. You have to anchor this mindfulness through what? Through anapanasati or any skillful means that you are familiar with. You can use rising, falling. You can use mantra. You can use anything. Dynamic meditation or whatever, as long as you anchor the mind to all this movement, then you develop sati. Then you have to stabilize it so that moment to moment is with this thing. Understand? So the breathing also same, moment to moment is with the sati breathing. But this one, if you are always aware of breathing, you cannot be aware of the outside world. Understand? External phenomena, the sense perception, sense of consciousness and how things arise and pass away. So that's why the anapanasati is initially to make you peaceful, calm, aware, stabilize you. Then after that, you allow it to become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, until this mind become pasati. Pasati is the silent mind, the mind that is in its natural state of awareness without thought. They call it tranquility, stillness of mind. When you reach that state, this is the mind that you can use to meditate. That's why anapanasati is to develop this, not to develop all the energy field, not to make it very powerful. That's why anapanasati, you read the four foundation of mindfulness. First foundation is kaya nupasana. The first category of training is anapanasati, the short version. After you train already, the mind aware already, the Buddha said, the next category of practice is to be mindful of the four postures. That's why you just follow what he tells you. Then after that, mindful of all action and all movement in the present moment, sati sampajana. That's how the Buddha teach. That's why from anapanasati, once the mind is trained, aware, use it to be mindful of the four postures and mindful of everything you do in life. Then only you will understand this teaching. Then only your mind has clarity to insight into phenomena. Then with the initial wisdom, all his teaching become very clear. Then all of the Dhamma starts to unfold. And then all the subsequent cultivation, you will understand. The four elements, the 32 parts, the 9 stages of 7-3 decomposition, then the second foundation, Vedana Nupassana, and the third foundation, Chitta Nupassana, content of consciousness, you mindful. Then the last one, Dhamma Nupassana. All this you will go through, and you will understand them very clearly. Yeah. That's why the whole process is not so simple. The Buddha take almost 4 world cycles to perfect this understanding. You think one lifetime you can do it. It's not so easy. But if you are determined, then you build it up, life after life, life after. That's why you must come with your inheritance from your past. And you can start anytime. As long as you determine you start from somewhere, then it will build up. Understand? Yeah. Then when you come to that understanding, you can have the wisdom of Lord Buddha. Or at least equivalent to the wisdom that he has taught his disciple and all those things. And your life will be transformed tremendously. And you will have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of peace within. And you will know how to appreciate life so much. And life has so much meaning suddenly. Suddenly everything becomes so meaningful to you. Everything that you come to experience becomes so beautiful to you. And you start to have this clear understanding of life. Then you become a blessing to all. Okay, 10:33, we have to stop. It is good if you have questions, go back, write it down. So that when the class before it starts, you put on this tray. So that you don't have to ask. Some of you may be shy. Nothing to do with focus, you're just silent. Focus means what? Focus means concentrate. No. When you focus, no, that is not mindfulness. That is, you are trying to use your thought to focus. Understand? No? What is focusing? Lost in that. Understand? No? Yeah, to be lost in that thing. That's why you focus. Your attention all there. One point. Understand? Because you focus. When you are aware, it's just pure awareness. Understand? That's why you can be aware of anything. Any of the sense consciousness around you are aware. Because your mind is not dwelling anywhere. It's just silent. That's why you can be aware. But the moment you focus with what? You create a thought. Understand? The spacious awareness, you put in a content. Understand? Then it become a thought. Zoop, it become a thought. That's why you become so limited, so narrow. So when it become a thought means you put in your mental intention. Your what they call the content of consciousness. So all of your thinking, your emotion, your reaction all go inside that space. And that become a thought. So when you are the thought, you cannot be aware of any other thing. Because you are preoccupied with that thought process. You are preoccupied with his thinking, his worry, his stirring and all those things. That is focusing. But the Buddha never teach you focusing. Focusing is using thought to live life. But when you want to understand something, you don't use thought. That's why you just silent and you will understand. The moment you have thought, you are clouded. Understand? Like the sun. Without cloud, the ray come very clear, very bright, you see very clearly that. But when the cloud is there, what happens? It obscure that sunlight. Understand? That sunlight is like your nature, your true mind that shine for. So when you are preoccupied with the thinking, this thinking cloud your mind. That's why you cannot be aware of that awareness behind. Understand? The mind that is before the thought, before the thinking, before the preoccupation with all the content of consciousness, the aggregate of mind, before the 5 aggregate come out. That's why you must stay with that awareness. And then that awareness will allow you to understand what is going on. That's why awareness can see thought, can see the aggregate of mind, but thought cannot see awareness because it's the product of awareness. When you input into the consciousness, the pure consciousness, the content, then it become a thought, become out very fast. That is focusing. That's why every time you think, you focus, the content going, and it become a thought. And this one have life, because there is mental intention inside there. That's how it go into the nature's law. That's how it become coming. That's why they call kusala and akusala karma. Kusala is wholesome thought. Akusala is unwholesome thought, like the Malay word, akusala. So kusala is wholesome, akusala is unwholesome. So it's actually Sanskrit, but very near to the Malay word. That's why they got this word, what they call nama rupa, for my mind. Malay word actually is Sanskrit. Then you got all this dosa. Dosa is sin. Our three evil root in Pali, you know what are they? No? Loba, dosa, moha. Dosa is hatred, evil. That's evil root. Loba is greed. But to us, loba is the nice food. Loba. Moha is like deluded. So all this is from Sanskrit. Actually, Pali is very near to Sanskrit. That's why the Malay word come from Sanskrit. So there are a lot of similarity in the words. Okay, we better end. You prepare next time your question, and write it down better. Or if you have any reporting, you better report then, so that you can remember. Okay, sharing your merits with the devas. For those who have this handbook, it's page 68. Akasata chabamata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa jirang rakan tuloka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merit to departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampatihito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end.